ॐ यज्ञनाथमिनन्दस्य जनाञ्जनासलकया चक्षुस्मिलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः. श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थपितं येन भूतले सायमुपगदां मायां ददति सा वदन्तिकम्. पञ्चकपितृभ्यश्च कृपसिन्धुभैः च पतितनं पवनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः. Daksha has performed his austerities. He's recited the Hansaguya prayers. The Lord has reciprocated with him and appeared before him. He had been requesting the Lord's mercy, because only by Krishna's mercy, by somehow evoking Krishna's mercy, can one get a full understanding of the Lord. What to speak of actually seeing him face by face? What can one do by one's own power to force Krishna to come before us? One can't do anything. But when Krishna is pleased with a devotee, then by his mercy he can, if he so desires, reveal himself. So the Lord did that due to his being pleased with Daksha. He revealed himself in an eight-armed form, riding upon Garuda. And he came accompanied by many sages and saints and demigods, all glorifying him. And he benedicted Daksha with his desire, with a suitable wife, by whom, or through whom, or with whom, he could fulfill his duty as progenitor of populating the world, the universe. So the Lord left, he disappeared, and then Daksha was still there. And in the first verse of the fifth chapter of the sixth canto, Sukadev Goswami is going to describe what happened next after Daksha received the benediction of the Lord. Impelled by the illusory energy of Lord Vishnu, Prajapati Daksha begot 10,000 sons in the womb of Panchajani Asikni. My dear king, these sons were called the Hariyastas. So the group of them, just as the 10 Prachetas who were the father of Daksha, they are called in group on Mars, they are called the Prachetas. So these 10,000 sons were called the Hariyasvas. Sukadev continues, my dear king, all the sons of Prajapati Daksha were alike in being very gentle and obedient to the orders of their father. So they had a common characteristics, common uniting qualities. They were obedient to the orders of their father. They were gentle. When their father ordered them to beget children, they all went to the western direction, in the western direction. In the west, where the river Sindhu meets the sea, there is a great place of pilgrimage known as Narayan Saras. Many sages and others advanced in spiritual consciousness lived there. So they went to perform austerities before undertaking the service of further populating the universe on the order of their father. They were gentle, they were obedient, and therefore they went to perform austerities, just as the Prachetas had done so long before. And as Daksha had done in previous times, when someone wanted to accomplish something, they performed austerities to sharpen their consciousness and to evoke the mercy of the Lord, to focus their consciousness. Text 5. In that holy place, Narayan Saras, the Hariyasvas began regularly touching the lake's waters and bathing in them, gradually becoming very much purified. They became inclined towards the activities of Paramahansas. What are the activities of Paramahansas? And what is a Paramahansa? What does Hansa mean? Hansa means swan. And parama means supreme. So they were like swans. They became inclined to the activities of swans, not literally to walk around with curved necks and sit in the water. No, not in that way, but the supreme swan, who have the characteristic of being able to extract the essence of existence. Because existence is manifold, and according to one's consciousness, one extracts something from existence. If one has consciousness no better than an animal, what he extracts from existence, his own existence in combination with the material world, he'll extract some type of enjoyment. There's a huge amount of existence. And he'll extract some sense enjoyment out of that. But the Paramhansas extract the spiritual essence. Because both are there. Material pleasures are there, and also spiritual reality, spiritual truth is there. So depending upon one's consciousness, one will extract one thing or another. So Paramhamsas are the greatest of sages who appear to be in the material world but are actually continuously extracting the essence of spiritual existence from the material world. So these Hariyasvas, by performing austerities and becoming purified, they became attracted to that type of activity. They became inclined towards the activities of Paramhamsas. Nevertheless, because their father had ordered them to increase the population, they performed severe austerities to fulfill his desires. So there is a tension between these two forms of activity. One is to populate the universe, and the other is to extract the spiritual essence of existence. So they were inclined towards the spiritual essence, but yet the Father had ordered them, and they were humble, gentle souls. So they performed austerities to be able to fulfill his desire. One day, when the great sage Narada saw these boys performing such fine austerities to increase the population, Narada approached them. Great sage Narada said, this is text 6-8, "My dear Hariyasvas," now Narada had previously preached to the Prachetas, their grandfather, and he had preached to their great-grandfather, who was Prachini Barhishat. He had preached to Dhruva Maharaj, another descendant, and now he's going to preach to the Hariyasvas. Narada said, "My dear Hariyasvas, you have not seen the extremities of the earth. You're inexperienced. There is a kingdom where only one man lives, and where there is a hole from which, having entered, no one emerges. A woman there, who is extremely unchaste, adorns herself with various attractive dresses. And the man who lives there is her husband. In that kingdom, there is a river flowing in both directions. A wonderful home made of 25 materials. A swan that vibrates various sounds. And an automatic revolving object made of sharp razors and thunderbolts. You have not seen all this, and therefore you are inexperienced boys without advanced knowledge. How then will you create progeny?" Here's Prabhupada's purport. Narada Muni saw that the boys known as the Hariyasvas were already purified because of living in that holy place and were practically ready for liberation. Why then should they be encouraged to become entangled in family life, which is so dark that having once entered it, one cannot leave it? Through this analogy, Narada Muni asked them to consider why they should follow their father's orders to be entangled in family life. Indirectly, he asked them to find within the cores of their hearts the situation of the Supersoul, Lord Vishnu. For then, they would truly be experienced. In other words, one who is too involved in this material environment and does not look within the core of his heart is increasingly entangled in the illusory energy. Narada Muni's purpose was to get the sons of Maharaj of Prajapati Daksha to divert their attention towards spiritual realization instead of involving themselves in the ordinary but complicated affairs of propagation. The same advice was given by Prahlad Maharaj to his father. Tatsarumanye sudavarjajahinam sarasamud vignadiyam asatgrahat hitfatmapattam griyamandakupam vanam gato yadharmashrita. In the dark well, because Prahlad Maharaj was asked by his father, who was atheistical and materialistical, what did you learn? And by asking, what did you learn in school? He was expecting to hear something simple and mundane because the boy was so young. But Prahlad Maharaj basically told him that he would not be able to understand what he himself knew. Why? Because he was a materialist and because he was the enemy of the Lord. And then Prahlad Maharaj said this verse, that Sarumanye, the best thing for you to do is hitvatma patam grihamanda kupam. You should give up this material life, which is like a deep, deep, dark well in a field, an abandoned well in a field that is covered by grass, and someone walking in that field will inadvertently step in that well, and because of the fact that it's deep and there's no one around, he is lost, he is finished. He will step into that dark well, he can't get out, and no matter how much he cries, he is lost because there's no one to hear him. So Prahlad told his father, Vanam gato yad harimashriyeta, you should leave this deep dark well of materialistic family life whose purpose is just to enjoy selfishly, like Ajamil. And what should one do? Vanam gato yad. One should go to the forest or go to Vrindavan. Harim ashrita, and take shelter of Lord Hari. In the dark well of family life, one is always full of anxiety because of his having accepted a temporary body. If one wants to free himself from this anxiety, one should immediately leave family life and take shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in Vrindavan. Narada Muni advised the Hariyastas not to enter household life. Since they were already advanced in spiritual knowledge, why should they be entangled in that way? So he told them this very short, analogous story, a metaphorical story that had meaning about a kingdom where only one man lives and there's a hole, and once one enters that hole, no one returns. So the Hariyasvas, or rather, we'll read the next verse, and then the Hariyasvas will meditate upon this metaphor, this allegory, and they will reach the right conclusion of what Narada was trying to tell them. So Narada Muni continues, alas, your father is omniscient. He knows everything. But you do not know his actual order. Without knowing the actual purpose of your father, how will you create progeny? Because we heard in the previous prayers that the Lord described that the purpose of the material world or the Hansaguya prayers, the purpose of creating the progeny was to give those souls in the material world a chance to get out of the material world. That was actually the purpose of Daksha's activity. So if one can get out of the material world directly, what is the use of getting entangled in the material world for the purpose of getting out? If one can get out directly, since the purpose of coming into the material world is to get out, why get entangled? Sukadev Goswami continued. Hearing these enigmatic words, very, very difficult to understand, of Narada Muni, because they're in the form of an allegory, the Hariyaspas considered them with their natural intelligence without help from others. So, this is what they concluded after hearing Narada Muni's short instructions. The Hariyaspa understood the meaning of Narada's words as follows. The word bhu, the earth, because he said, on this earth there is a kingdom where only one man lives, and there is a hole from which, having entered, no one emerges. So what is this bhu? On this earth there is a kingdom. What is this earth? So the Hariyaspas considered this. What is this earth? The word bhu, they understood, refers to the field of activities. The material body, which is the result of the living being's actions, is his field of activities. And it gives him false designations. This body is the field in which we act. And because we identify with the body, we are designated by our body. We adopt so many upadis, or designations, in relationship to the body or our field of activities. We think we have brown eyes, we think we have sore knees, we think we have this, we think we are that. All having to do with the body. So this is the field in which we work and try to enjoy within, the field of activities. The material body, which is a result of the living being's actions, is this field of activities. And it gives him false designations. Since time immemorial, he has received various types of material bodies, which are the roots of bondage to the material world. Because we try to enjoy again and again, body after body, in these field of activities, identifying with them, accepting these designations. If one foolishly engages in temporary fruitive activities and does not look towards the cessation of this bondage, what will be the benefit of his actions? If we're only thinking, enjoy, 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 based on my body, what will be the benefit? The result will be death, and what will we have gained? Here's Prabhupada's purport. Narada Muni spoke to the Hariyaspas, the sons of Prajapati Daksha, about 10 allegorical subjects. The king, the kingdom, the river, the house, the physical elements, and so forth. After considering these by themselves, the Hariyaspas could understand that the living entity, encaged in his body, seeks happiness, but takes no interest in how to become free from his encagement. This is a very important verse, since all the living entities in the material world are very active, having obtained their particular types of bodies. A man works all day and night for sense gratification, and animals like hogs and dogs also work for sense gratification all day and night. This is what's on their mind. This is what they're trying to do. Even the animal who burrows deep into the earth to find a secure house, he does that for his safety so he can enjoy sense gratification later on. This is the unifying factor of everyone in the material world, the desire to enjoy their senses based on their body, their field of activities. So humans, dogs, hogs, birds, beasts, and all other conditioned living entities engage in various activities without knowledge of the soul encaged within the body. They identify with the body actively. The soul is giving forth activity. The nature of the soul is to be active. It is unstoppable, practically speaking. The soul must be active. And because he identifies with the body, his activity is on the bodily level, trying to bring pleasure on the, get, obtain pleasure on the bodily level. Especially in the human form of body, one's duty is to act in such a way that he can release himself from this encagement. So what is the cage? And what is within the cage of the body? The soul. So this is our, the prime function of human life is to get released from the bodily identification and fly away. So one's duty is to act in such a way that he can release himself from this encagement. But without the instructions of Narada or his representative in the disciplic succession, people blindly engage in bodily activities to enjoy a maya sukha, flickering, temporary happiness. They do not know how to become free from their material encagement. Rishabhdev therefore said that such activity is not at all good, since it encages the soul again and again in a body subjected to the threefold miseries of the material condition. The Hariyasvas, the sons of Maharaj Prajapati Daksha, could immediately understand the purport of Narada's instructions. Our Krishna consciousness movement is especially meant for such enlightenment. We are trying to enlighten humanity so that people may come to the understanding that they should work hard in tapasya for self-realization and freedom from the continuous bondage of birth, death, old age, and disease in one body after another. Maya, however, illusion, is very strong. She is expert in putting impediments in the way of this understanding. Therefore, sometimes one comes to the Krishna consciousness movement but again falls into the clutches of Maya, not understanding the importance of this movement. Text 12. So that was the explanation, a general explanation by Prabhupada in his purport of what the whole allegory was, but also an explanation of what this bu in the allegory was, the earth, the field of activities, the body that everyone is trying to exploit for their enjoyment. Text 12. Narada Muni had said that there is a kingdom where there is only one male. The Hariyasvas realized the purport of this statement. The only enjoyer is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who observes everything, everywhere. He is full of six opulences and fully independent of everyone else. He is never subject to the three modes of material nature, for he is always transcendental to this material creation. If the members of human society do not understand him, the Supreme, through their advancement in knowledge and activities, but simply work very hard like cats and dogs all day and night for temporary happiness, what will be the benefit of their activities? So there is a kingdom that has one male in it, and that one male who knows everything, who is all powerful, is the Lord. If someone is unaware of the Lord, but just works in his field of activities trying to enjoy temporary happiness, what will he gain? Some happiness, some misery, continuously changing. Happiness, misery, and then death. and then a new field of activities, then happiness, misery, death. So what is the gain? So they're understanding this by after having heard what Narada said. Text 13. Narada Muni had described that there is a bila, or hole, from which having entered one does not return. So in the kingdom, there is one male, and there is a hole there. Bahariyasvas understood the meaning of this allegory. Hardly once has a person who has entered the lower planetary system called Patala have been seen. Patala have been has such a person who has entered the lower planetary systems of Patala have been seen to return. So these are the in the fifth canto there was Bila Swag, or the lower planetary system. So the same word Bila is used. So if one misuses his human life and goes to hell for billions of years once finished suffering. Not his suffering is finished, but he's finished. And what will he be doing? He'll be suffering. So if one enters that hole, one's finished. Similarly, if one enters the Vaikuntha Dham, Pratyag Dham, he does not return to this material world. If there is such a place from which, having gone, one does not return to the miserable material condition of life, what is the use of jumping like monkeys in the temporary material world and not seeing or understanding that place? What will be the profit? So the aspiration, the endeavor, the work of a person who has knowledge of the spiritual world is to attain that place, because it frees one. Attaining that, one is free from the material miseries of life. Unendingly continuous material miseries. If we can just grasp that truth and get a taste of that, then our activities will naturally be to attain that and not just wasted, human life wasted, trying to enjoy, then suffering and think, oh, I have a new plan, how I'll be happy. Then trying to enjoy and then failure and then finally after plan after plan after plan and some successes and some failures. Then finally old age, death, disease, death, new body, maybe a horrible body, maybe a suffering body, Patala, going to such suffering. And it's interesting to note that the question of Maharaj Prickett that evoked Sukadev Goswami to tell the pastime of Ajamil was, how could people become free from the hellish sufferings? And the answer was devotional service, chanting the holy name. So here the emphasis is getting out again. Getting out. Don't walk down that path, down that hole, because once one enters that, one's finished. Rather, go to another place where one won't come back again. When one goes to a hellish place, one won't come back to get another opportunity, but when one goes to Vaikuntha, one won't come back to the material world at all. So what would be the profit if one doesn't make this attempt and go to Vaikuntha? The next point, text 14 in the analogy, the allegory. Narada Muni had described the woman who is a professional prostitute. So the question can be raised, what causes someone to walk very gladly down this hole of material, of going to hellish suffering existence? So that is going to be compared to a professional prostitute. The Hariyasvas understood the identity of this woman, mixed with the mode of passion, the unsteady intelligence of every living entity is like a prostitute. The unsteady intelligence. What is an unsteady intelligence? It flickers based on the mind, what the mind catches onto. It flickers right onto that. It is not fixed on attaining the absolute truth, but is flickering, unsteady. Flickering from one object of sense gratification to the, I want this, no, I want this, no, I want this, I want that, I won't get that, and the intelligence. Unsteady, flickering, makes plans how to obtain all these materialistic desires. So the unsteady intelligence of every living entity is like a prostitute who changes dresses just to attract one's attention. So the same basic desire to enjoy separately from Krishna in material life just takes on different coverings. Like the prostitute may change her dress to attract us. So the intelligence adopts different plans and coverings based on that same simple desire of sense enjoyment. Just, it changes its dress just to attract one's attention. If one fully engages in temporary fruitive activities, one after another, as dictated by the materialistic intelligence, which is impelled by the desires of the mind, if one engages in temporary fruitive activities, not understanding how this is taking place, what does he actually gain? Because it's one thing after the next, after the next, after the next, after the next, but it's actually the same thing, just in different dresses. This is just the trick of the materialistic intelligence, which is flickering always and compared to a prostitute changing her dress. This is what the Purchetas understood. We'll read some of Prabhupada's purport. The intelligence of a living entity who does not turn its attention towards Krishna, all the Krishna consciousness movement simply changes dresses like a prostitute to attract us to enjoyment. What is the benefit of such foolish intelligence? One should be intelligently conscious in such a way, fixed intelligently conscious, that he no longer need change from one body to another. Karmis change their professions at any moment. But a Krishna conscious person does not change his profession. What does Prabhupada mean by profession? He means his occupation, his focus. Because one profession doesn't satisfy, then they change it. But a devotee doesn't change his profession. And what is his profession? His only profession is to attract the attention of Krishna by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra and living a very simple life. Why is a simple life recommended? Because if we live a simple life, we can, our mind will become focused. If we have a complicated life, our mind will be always thinking, I need this, I need this, I need this, I need this, and never get around to chanting Hare Krishna and attracting Krishna's attention through good chanting. And our Krishna, so the only profession, a devotee's only profession, a member of a Krishna conscious person does not change his profession. For his only profession is to attract the attention of Krishna by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra and living a very simple life without following daily changes of fashion. In our Krishna consciousness movement, fashionable persons are taught to adopt one fashion. The dress of a Vaishnava with a shaved head and tilak. They are taught to be always clean in mind, dress, and eating in order to be fixed in Krishna consciousness. So there are supportive things that are done, but the purpose of one simple life, uncomplicated life, is to, again, attract the attention of the Lord by chanting Hare Krishna. Just imagine if we have 70 pairs of shoes and 50 shirts and 175 pairs of pants and so many pairs of socks and so many pairs of this and that and coats. It's such an, one has to fully, it's a full engagement just to figure out what is one going to wear on that day. Distraction of the attention. So one should keep one's life simple. Not that simplicity of life is a goal, but is a subsidiary, secondary goal, because that will give us the ability to have a peaceful enough mind to be able to chant Hare Krishna, and thereby to chant in such a mood that we attract the attention of Krishna. So here Prabhupada is saying we've trained the devotees to live with Vaishnava dress, with a shaved head and tilak. They are taught to be always so many different hairstyles avoided. So much more anxiety, so much time spent looking in the mirror avoided. What is the use of changing one's dress? Sometimes wearing long hair and a long beard and sometimes dressing otherwise. Different fashions, whimsicalness. This is not good. There's nothing inherently wrong with it, but the effect on the consciousness is not good, and it distracts one from the real purpose of life. One should not waste his time in such frivolous activities, as if these kind of things, all these changes of fashion and dress, can make us happy. Frivolous entrance down that hole. One, contrarily, Prabhupada concludes the purport, one should always be fixed in Krishna consciousness and take the cure of devotional service with firm determination. So very powerful purport. Very powerful. Admonishment, instruction, warnings, good advice. So that was the point that they understood about the prostitute. Don't let the intelligence get involved in adopting the frivolous and whimsical activities of continuously changing what one desires. Rather, one should be fixed in one desire, and that one desire should be to go to the spiritual world and live there forever. Text 15. Narada Muni had also spoken of a man who is the husband of the prostitute. The Hariyasvas understood this as follows. If one becomes the husband of a prostitute, he loses all independence. Similarly, if a living entity has polluted intelligence, he prolongs his materialistic life. So when the living entity, the soul, marries the prostitute, or becomes joined or identifies with the prostitute of polluted intelligence, the result is he's run everywhere by this intelligence. First I have to do this, and then I have to do this, I have to buy that, I have to get that, I have to change this, and I have to do this day after day. New ideas, new plans, how to become happy in the material world. So if one marries the prostitute of weak intelligence, he prolongs his materialistic life. Frustrated by material nature, he must follow the movements of the intelligence. He has to follow along, which brings various conditions of happiness and distress. If one performs fruitive actions, activities under such conditions, what will be the benefit? We'll read from some of Prabhupada's purport. Polluted intelligence has been compared to a prostitute. One who has not purified his intelligence is said to be controlled by that prostitute. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, Vyavya Satmika Buddhi Ekeha Kurunandana, those who are actually serious are conducted by one kind of intelligence, fixed intelligence. That's what the meaning of that verse is. Vyavya satmika buddhir ikaya kuru nandana. And that intelligence, namely, Prabhupada, fixed intelligence in Krishna consciousness. Bahushaka tvanantascha yunantascha buddhayo avyasayanam. When it was not fixed in proper intelligence, discovers many modes of life. Thus involved in material activities, he is exposed to the different modes of material nature and is subjected to varieties of so-called happiness and distress. If a man becomes the husband of a prostitute, he cannot be happy. And similarly, one who follows the dictations of material intelligence and material consciousness will never be happy. Text 16. Narada Muni has said that there is a river flowing in both directions. The Hariyasvas understood the purport of this statement. Material nature functions in two ways, by creation and dissolution. Thus the river of material nature flows both ways. Something is being created, something is being destroyed. Something else is being created, something else is being destroyed. Continuously, ceaselessly. This is material life. This is the river of material life flowing in both directions, creation, destruction. That which we want to be created, sometimes we're created and we're so, it becomes created and the situation becomes created with just the facilities that we want for enjoyment, but yet the river will flow in the opposite direction as well and it will be destroyed. The river of material nature flows both ways. A living entity who unknowingly falls in this river is submerged in its waves. And since the current is swift and near the banks of the river, he is unable to get out. Every time he tries to get out, he's pushed back into the center by the swiftly flowing currents. And it's going both ways and becomes trapped in these currents. That's material life. And meanwhile, the intelligence is saying, just try this, you'll be happy. Just try, and he's going to drown. What will be the benefit of performing fruitive activities in that river of Maya? So this is the river in which all these fruitive activities are performed within. And the intelligence is saying, yes, enjoy this, enjoy that. Taking on new dresses every day. But again, those dresses cover the same old wrinkled material desire of enjoyment, materialistic enjoyment. We'll read a little of Prabhupada's purport. One may be submerged in the waves of the river of Maya, but one may also get free from the waves by coming to the banks of knowledge and austerity. These are the twin banks, knowledge and austerity. But near these banks, however, the waves are very strong. If one does not understand how he is being tossed by the waves, but simply engages in temporary fruitive activities, what benefit will he derive? We'll read the rest of this purport. In the Brahma Samhita 544, there is a statement. Srishti Stiti Pralaya Saddhana Sakti Eka Chaye Vayasya Bhuvanani Babarti Durga. The Maya Shakti Durga is in charge of the Srishti Stiti Pralaya, creation and dissolution. And she acts under the direction of the Supreme Lord, Maya Dakshena Prakriti Suyate Sacharacharan. When one falls in the river of nescience, he is always tossed here and there by the waves. But the same Maya can also save him when he surrenders to Krishna or becomes Krishna conscious. Krishna consciousness is knowledge and austerity. A Krishna conscious person takes knowledge from the Vedic literature, and at the same time, he must practice austerities. To attain freedom from material life, one must take to Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, if one very busily engages in the so-called advancement of science, what benefit will he derive? If one is carried away by the waves of nature, what is the meaning of being a great scientist or philosopher? Mundane science and philosophy are also material creations. One must understand how Maya works and how one can be released from the tossing waves of the river of nescience. That is one's first duty. That is Vyavya Satmika Budhi Ekeha Kuru Nandana. Not Bahushaka. Bahushaka means many branched. So many plans, so many desires. So we can just focus our desire and make it very, very powerful and strong to swim to the bank of the river, to become Krishna conscious by strong focused intelligence and really by Krishna's mercy, then we can get out. Text 17. Narada Muni has said that there is a house made of 25 elements. The Hariyasvas understood this analogy. The Supreme Lord is the reservoir of the 25 elements. And as the Supreme Being, the conductor of cause and effect, He causes their manifestation. So He is the origin, as was said in the Hansaguya prayers, that He is the source of everything. Aham evasam eva grey nanyat yat sarasat param. He existed before creation. He is the source of, He is the cause of everything. And because He is not different from anything, He is the effect as well. So He is making everything happen in the material world. So these 25 elements, He is their source as well. So what are the 25 elements? This is that which the material world is made out of, including our bodies. So being the conductor of cause and effect, He causes their manifestation, all of matter. If one engages in temporary fruitive activities, not knowing that that's that Supreme Person, what benefit will He derive? So if one gets involved in the matter, the 25 elements, and living in the house of 25 elements, in the material body, in the material world, what benefit will he get if one absorbed in trying to squeeze and enjoy in that situation? What will actually be his benefit? What will be his result? The result will be birth and death and birth and death. Pleasure, misery, mixtures of the two, old age, disease, some enjoyment, then it's taken away, the river flows in the other direction, annihilation, then something is created, you try to hold on to a wave that's created in the river, that's what it's like trying to hold on to something created in the material world for security. It's just a matter of time before that wave becomes dissolved back into the river. It's destroyed. So similarly, it's just a matter of time that everything that we long for in the material world and we're working hard for by virtue of that prostitute-like intelligence is just going to be annihilated in time. So what is the use? They're saying, what benefit will actually be derived if one uses one's valuable life to gain something that's going to be annihilated, like the wave in the river, like the destruction of every aspect of things that are created of these 25 elements? Rather, they are saying, better to understand the cause of the 25 elements and take shelter of that cause, who is the Lord. Purport. Philosophers, I'll read a little bit further down into the purport. This material cosmic manifestation is an expansion of the energy of Lord Krishna, or Lord Vishnu. Ekadesha stitas yagne jyotsna vistarini yata parasya brahmana shaktis tathedam akilam jagat. Whatever we see in this world is but an expansion of various energies of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is like a fire that spreads illumination for a long distance, although it is situated in one place. He's like a fire because from the fire comes heat and light, and the heat and light may be spread very far from the fire. So similarly, the Lord, through His energies, the material energy, He spreads His energies, the material energy and the spiritual energy, the Jiva Shakti. Although He is situated in one place, He is spread everywhere through His energies. The entire cosmic manifestation is an expansion of the Supreme Lord. Therefore, if one does not conduct research to find the Supreme Cause, but instead falsely engages in frivolous, temporary activities, what is the use of demanding recognition as an important scientist or philosopher? If one does not know the ultimate cause, what is the use of his scientific and philosophical research? The Purusha, the original cause, Bhagavan, Vishnu, can be understood only by devotional service. Bhakti Mam, Abhijananti, Yavan Yas Chasmi Tatvata. So this analogy is very much parallels the Hansaguya prayers that Dakshet said to the Lord. Only by devotional service. So that is the process of understanding the Lord who is beyond this material creation. Otherwise, without devotional service, one either sees only the material creation, or he sees the falsity of the material creation but cannot see the one who is beyond it. Or he sees the oneness of the material creation, that it's all based upon some energy. But without devotional service, one cannot see that Lord who is the cause of all causes. He, the person, aham eva sameva gray. I, he said, I existed before the creation. I, person. So without devotional service, only by devotional service, one can understand the Supreme Person who is behind everything. One must try to understand that the material elements are the separated inferior energy of the Lord, and that the living entity is the Lord's spiritual energy. Yeyedam daryate jagat. Whatever we experience, including matter and the spirit soul, the living force, is but a combination of the two energies of Lord Vishnu, the inferior energy and the superior energy. One should seriously study the facts concerning creation, maintenance, and devastation, as well as the permanent place from which one never need return. Yat gatva na navartate. Human society should study this. But instead of culturing such knowledge, people are attracted to temporary happiness and sense gratification, culminating in bottomless, topless passion. There is no profit in such activities. One must engage himself in the Krishna consciousness movement. So there's still three or so more elements of this allegory. And we'll continue with those if Krishna allows on Wednesday. Are there any questions or comments? Still remaining are the swan, the colored chakra, and those two elements. The swan and the colored chakra. Any questions or comments? Thank you.
was something in the previous class.
It's permitted, but I'm not sure I'll remember. But I'll try my best.
It was about impersonalism a couple of nights ago, and you made an interesting point. And I can't remember reading the report, but there was the quality of mercy. So if there's one quality, there can be other qualities, and so on and so forth. And I was thinking about that. I guess a devotee, by engaging in devotional service, has some concrete reciprocal appreciation that there's someone's hearing my prayers and someone's answering. Because there's an intelligence that can do that.
The devotee has the intelligence, you're saying?
There is an intelligence. Let's say so an impersonalist, I guess, if there is no qualities out there, then there can be no concept of reciprocation.
Yes.
So I guess if I was an impersonalist doing an impersonal path of transcendence, I wouldn't expect to get any message, so to speak. It's just kind of me against it, stripping off the layers of my ignorance to try and appreciate.
It's just you. You against Maya.
Yeah.
And you know who's going to win. Because there's no descending mercy. Yeah.
So is this and correct then?
Yes.
In the impersonalist path, there is no...
Theoretically, but they're forced to become hypocrites, basically, because they will speak about grace, often, and in addition, they always have to do some devotional service. Because without some devotion, they can't be successful. Jiva Goswami describes this very, and Prabhupada says it so many times too, but in the Sandarbhas, Jiva Goswami describes this, Bhagavad Sandarbha, that they have to pray to Krishna in some way or another to get even the impersonal conclusion, to reach that. Because without mercy, without Krishna favoring a person, they don't get anything. So there's a hypocrisy built into it. And the second hypocrisy is they say that the world is illusion, but yet they have to do something, so they have to, as Prabhupada puts it so intelligently, although they say the world is illusion, they become expert in enjoying that illusion, and they say, oh, it's all the lila, or it's all, I'm not doing anything, I'm a soul, this is just my body doing it. So it's the hypocrisy, the yoga of hypocrisy, on both cases, internally for their spiritual realization and externally for their activities, they're forced to be hypocrites. They cannot get the realization without Krishna saying, all right. And they won't get that unless they perform some bhakti.
I mean, do they knowingly and unconsciously perform bhakti, or is it just...
Yes, but it's a different kind of bhakti. It's not real bhakti, because they're worshipping even the deity, thinking, oh, this isn't the ultimate. So it's not real bhakti, it's business bhakti. They're doing an activity to gain something else. The example they use, it's a nasty example when you think about it from the point of view of you're talking about Krishna or Guru, is they say there's a high wall, which is the wall of Maya, and then you put a ladder against that wall. So, and then you climb up the ladder, which is the guru. And then when you can over the top, you don't need him anymore, so you kick him away. So it's the same thing with the whole process of deity worship or reading shastra. It's kicking it. So it's not real bhakti, but yet they have to take advantage of bhakti or they can't get anything. But they see it as time-serving, as purposeful. And bhakti is causeless. Actual bhakti has no purpose other than to please Krishna, not to gain anything. So that's not real bhakti, but yet they have to take advantage of some bhakti. They have to offer prayers, they have to pray. Otherwise they won't gain anything. Jiva Goswami proves this shastrically in Bhagavad Sandarbha. So on both sides, hypocrisy. And also they're saying, I want to become one. So there's an I there. I mean, if everyone's one, then why, if I say I want to become one, why isn't everyone else also want to become one simultaneously? Oh, they say because Maya's covering. So then how did, why is Maya covering him and not you or something? How did the Supreme get covered? So many problems come up. And the way that they would answer the point about qualities or the nature of the Supreme, even if you say he has no qualities, having no qualities is a quality, characteristic. So they'll say that actually it's unspeakable. And Prabhupada's reply was stop speaking then. Just be quiet. Go in the corner and meditate. Go. We'll put a dunce cap on your head. Do they have dunce caps in Australia? Or they, not, of course, now you couldn't. Because probably. Okay. Thank you. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Vaibhakta Vrinda ki jai.